The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Marcus Coleman is in an emergency meeting at Trinity. Okay, he's in an emergency meeting. I don't know what the heck happened over there. But something with their football program.
I wonder if it's, I hope it's not COVID related.
I hope not.
They actually got two games in, so and I don't know if they have a game this Saturday, but they've been able to get two and won their first two, 2-0 Trinity.
Nice. Way to go, Trinity. Anyway, he's in a meeting, and so he will hopefully be, he said he'll text me when he gets out. And we'll see if we can't get him on. If not, we'll try to do it some other time. In the meantime, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. I went to the Rockets game last night. It was terrible. It was it was awful. And you know, it was like 22-7, but then the Rockets came back. And it was 29-22, I believe, 29-24. And so they like outscored them 17-7 and was like, wow, they got some heart. And then it was 54-48 at the half. The Rockets, PJ, I believe, missed a chippy with as time. I know it was House and missed a chippy at the end of the first half. And so they were down by 6, and that's fine. And then they gave up 46 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And Zach LaVine was spectacular. He had 7 at the half. Finish. And I was thinking, because, you know, I knew, you know, I'd seen him play and whatnot, and I wanted to see him live and what. And I was like, he's, you know, he's okay. He got 7 points. You know, they got guys like Santanowski and some guys you never even.
Santoransky
and. A Rivaderci.
That's not Archie Diakite.
Archie, no, whatever.
Formerly of Villanova.
Yeah. I don't know. No one knows. But he's got a man bun. He's got a, and it's.
That's
really,
where he's at right now?
Yeah.
The man bun?
It's really awful. I mean, and it's a little baby one.
And he had like a kind of a shorter haircut at Villanova. That's what kind of what happens. These guys get out of college and they start feeling themselves. Yeah. The haircuts change. He didn't have a great night, but Zach LaVine, as you mentioned, 7 points at half. And then. Put on display in the third quarter and didn't have to play in the fourth, really.
I mean, he was unbelievable. Everything he touched, everything he threw up was in. He's really good.
The Rockets are so bad, they hurt his numbers. He didn't have to play in the fourth. He only scored 21 points. They hurt his numbers.
He finished with 21?
Yeah.
I thought he had 24.
No, 7-14, 21 points. Didn't have to do much in the fourth quarter because the game was out of hand.
Yeah, it was stupid, though. But everything he threw in the third quarter, he had 14 in the third. It just bam, 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 bam. Anyway, the Rockets are just not – it's just – they're devoid of talent. I like Coby White, too, by the way.
Yeah, he had a nice game last night, too. The backcourt for the Bulls had their way. He had 24 points on 16 shots.
He's got a quick – you want to talk about a quick first step. Holy crap.
Yeah,
and he's – lightning down the court.
Yeah, he was a guy, that was his trademark, one of those Carolina point guards who can fly up and down the floor. Had a better shooting night than normal, and that tends to be the case against the Rockets right now. You're just going to have good nights against them, but 24 points, 10 rebounds. You talked about earlier, the Bulls are better than they have been in the past. Still under 500, but they actually have a legitimate guy coaching. Billy Donovan can run an offense because he doesn't have – now, he apparently he has a star in Zach LaVine, but he doesn't have a domineering type in Russ or KD where the offense has to go through them.
No, but it's funny. It was – I mean, Thaddeus Young and Wendell Carter Jr., they just get easy shots. I mean, the way that he runs his offense and the slashing and the constant movement – it's almost like, I don't want to say it's an Ivy League, but it's really, really a really fun offense, and they really move the ball well.
It is funny how the NBA works, where when you don't have to cater to stars, all of a sudden, maybe Billy Donovan and his offense isn't so stagnant, isn't something that's always one-on-one, because these are guys who are more willing to adapt to what you want them to do.
Absolutely. And Zach LaVine didn't come in as a star, so... You know, and now he's been the last few years, and I mean, he's been there, but he is adapted, listen, John Wall was doing the James Harden at the top of the key thing with the legs, the dribble between the legs. He did it a few times, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, dude, don't do this. Don't. We got rid of Steve Francis. We got rid of James Harden. We can stop doing this now. We don't have to do that anymore. I don't know if you heard. We don't dribble between our legs no more. That's over. John Wall, don't do that. It's like, move the ball. And you know what this team is a bunch of that. This team should be like Billy. This should be like Billy. I know we had a caller earlier hit the nail on the head. They're not a drive and dish team. This is not that they don't have good 3-point shooters. Why are they still running this offense? And I think, you know, this is what Silas brought. This is what Silas did at Dallas. But this is a different team. This ain't James Harden and, I don't want to say Russell Westbrook, Eric Gordon ain't the same 3-point shooter. Eric Gordon can actually drive. They can move a hell of a lot more than they're moving right now. They can't run that same offense that James Harden ran. They don't have James Harden.
Or Luka when Silas was in Dallas. They are devoid of a guy who can get people shots at any time because of his ability to get into the lane. And look, well, we talked about it before. They're just not good.
They're not
nearly good enough. And Christian Wood was the lone bright spot. And, you know, we highlighted, I think maybe either you were here or maybe the day you're one of the days you're off, that he talked about how he was going to be back in 2 weeks. Well, that 2 weeks is about the end, and there's still no sign of him, and I don't know why you would play him before the All-Star break anyway.
Well, right, but I don't know. Wasn't he questionable last night?
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see if he plays.
When he was there.
Was he? Okay.
Boogie wasn't there. Boogie's been released, but Boogie wasn't even there.
Oladipo walked out.
They walked out together in the second half from the locker room, and they came out and watched the game, which was nice. I thought it was nice of them to come out and watch the game. But here's the thing about Christian Wood. I really do believe he makes everybody better. And now, because guess what? These guys were a lot better as a group when Christian Wood was on the floor than without Christian Wood on the floor. I mean, I think that Christian Wood draws some attention now, and it helps those guys. But they've got to change this up. They can't run this same offense with this group, this cast of characters. Now, what's this cast of characters going to do anyway? Nothing.
And one of the bigger issues, it's not a bigger issue because losing is losing, but in a lot of this 8-game losing streak, they haven't been competitive. Multiple games where they weren't in it in the fourth quarter.
It was funny, though, against Philadelphia, they came back.
Yeah, and they fought. And,
yeah, against a good team. I mean, Philadelphia is a really good team, and they were down by 20-some points, and they fought back to 4, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, and then you watch them get blown out by Charlotte, blown out by the Pelicans, under 500, blown out by – they're competitive against Miami at home, blown out by the Knicks, under 500, I believe, still blown up, beat by double digits by Washington, beat by 20 at home by Chicago. Now this was them coming off not playing because of the ice storm, but a lot of not only losing but being uncompetitive and coming up, got games you think they could be competitive in. Now they have to go on the road: Cleveland, at Toronto, Memphis, Cleveland, Brooklyn. So not exactly murderer's row, but until Christian Wood comes back, why would I expect anything to be different?
I think they're worse against the lesser teams.
They've proven that to be the case.
Because the lesser teams are coming in here, hey, we can win this game. What about Washington beating the Lakers?
The Washington's won 5 in a row.
How about Washington? What's that about?
I don't know what it's about. I don't know. And it's not, and by the way, they've beaten the Celtics.
Washington, guys, what's that about?
Washington doing?
What's this Washington going on here, guys?
And it's not crappy teams. Now, they beat the Rockets, which was a crappy team, but they beat the Celtics, the
Russ?
Nuggets, the Trailblazers, and the Lakers.
They give us their first round pick for having Russ?
No, we didn't get their first round pick. No, they gave us John Wall. They gave us that.
But did you also get a first?
No, we had to give them a first.
But we took on John Wall's contract.
Yeah.
They took on Russ's contract.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's kind of how that trade worked out. Yeah, and they won 5 in a row, 4 against good teams.
Yeah.
Whatever that's about.
What's that? What's that all about?
What's that whole wizard thing about?
What is that about? Washington winning basketball games. What is that going on?
No. The Rockets got a 2020 former Russell Westbrook from the. Okay, in exchange for John Wall and a lottery protected 2023 first round pick.
So
the Rockets got the first round.
Yeah, the Rockets got the first round.
Yeah.
You would think that it'd be the other way around, but okay.
Are you doing the show or not?
Are you talking in the studio without a microphone? Is that what you're doing? He's dabbing on everybody.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep the camera on him because who knows?
It's lottery. Why are you having lottery protection?
Because Washington's like, we're not going to give you everything.
Oh, crappy deal. Fire Rafael Stone.
Now you're on that caller side.
1012 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about Scott McGrath. Now, I like Scott McGrath. He ain't getting fired. Scott McGrath is the best at killing bugs. You heard the commercials. He likes that. It's not really him. It's an actor playing Scott McGrath. But Scott McGrath does like to do some of the things that the actor said. He does like to kill termites, mosquitoes, ants, roaches, fleas, spiders, bed bugs. He hates bugs. Scott McGrath he's made a life of hating bugs and killing them. He is a serial bug killer. And you know what? He's proud of it. He doesn't care. What? Okay. But I don't think he's got the teardrop, but I'm pretty sure. Is there a teardrop for killing bugs? I don't think so. But here's the deal is Scott McGrath does like to kill them. He does. He's a killer. And you know what? Bugs hate Scott McGrath. And Scott McGrath will come to your home and he'll kill all those bugs. He's great at it. I love him. They come to our house every quarter. And they spray and they make sure and we don't see a bug. And if we saw a bug, Scott McGrath would get over there and he'd kill that bug because that's what Scott McGrath do. He also can kill any kind of rodents that you have outside or inside your home. If you have anything in your attic that you need out, Scott McGrath will do that as well. 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240 or McGrathPestControl.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776 to hang with us here on the show if you would like to get in. Been talking Rockets basketball, been talking Texans. How about Astros? Haven't talked about Carlos Correa in a while. Carlos Correa says he wants this done. He wants a long-term extension before the season starts.
You've talked about this quite a bit the last year. Even when there was talk of, oh, Carlos is out of here. You brought the news that they're working on something to get him to stay. Mm-hmm. They would like that to get done. That'll get done. Do you know what numbers the sides are debating on?
No, but I do know this. Jim Crane and his wife really, really, really like Carlos Correa and want Carlos Correa to stay. Carlos Correa had an event. Or it was an Astros event, whatever. I don't know what the case was. But they came up to Carlos. They approached Carlos and said how, as a matter of fact, I think there were some tears involved of how Carlos handled the scandal, how Carlos handled the postseason, how he became a leader, how proud they were of him, how they wanted him to be a long-term Astro. I'm telling you, I believe there were some tears involved. How happy they were and how proud they were of Carlos Correa.
It's weird to say, considering it could have been Dusty Baker's been around forever, but Carlos steadied that ship. He was like the beacon.
Yeah,
he said, "Bring it all on me. I'll do all the talking because it's not an Altuve's wheelhouse to do that." And Bregman, we know, will do it, but it's in a different vibe. And Carlos kind of took on the heel vibe when you talk about the rest of the country. Hey, look at me. I will be the one you can take your shots at. I'll be the spokesperson and also lead the team on the field. And it didn't in the best way, but even fighting back 3-0, down 0-3, excuse me, and getting that to a game 7 in the ALCS speaks to where that team was mentally, and he was a big part of it.
Yeah. No. He took on he was different this postseason, wasn't he?
Yeah, from
he really was.
All aspects.
Yeah.
He was that dude from beginning to end. And it was not just internally with the Astros. Carlos was a guy that the city was like, yeah, we're done taking the crap. And the fact that he wasn't going to allow it to continue from the jump, and he was going to attack prominent Dodgers when they had stuff to say, and anyone else who had something to say was going to catch it too. I don't know if he had any issues winning hearts before, but he certainly did.
Yeah. And with Springer leaving, you know, seeing George Springer in a Blue Jays uniform, that sucks. That really sucks. And I think that, hey, there's still a window here. And you know what? You're going to lose Greinke. You're going to lose Verlander. You're going to lose those two contracts. And you're going to still be a good baseball team.
The fact that...
because of the guys that have stepped up.
Fromber, we hope, or Urquidy. Yeah.
But Javier?
Javier. The fact that those two became legit forces now, limited sample size, but the fact that those two were dudes you could look at and go, and get big outs in the playoffs and go, okay. It looked a little bleak when you talked about the thought of no Greinke and certainly no Verlander, well, this year, but even in the future. But if you look at those two and go, and if you can hope and pray that Flores Whitley will ever be anything, then you all of a sudden look like, okay, Verlander, we appreciate what you did, and you're always going to be a legend here, but we got a pretty clear future.
You know, and it's, you know, you're replacing George Springer with Miles Straw right now.
Yeah.
And Miles Straw, actually, Dusty said he's got a chance to be the leadoff guy. He's going to have to hit a lot more than he hit before, but it sure would be nice to have a guy at the top of the order that can steal some bases. It sure would be nice to, you know, get some merry-go-round stuff going on the base paths. But you're still – and I think that's an awesome goal. We've seen that the – listen, I can't blame Jim Crane for just going, I ain't spending stupid money. I got $35 million in Verlander. I got $35 million. They don't have that much in either guy because of what Arizona picked up on Greinke. But we got a bunch of money, and you know what? We're still going to be good. I think you fill in. I think he's going to be able to fill in, but he might have to pay Correa. He may have to even overpay Correa, which is problematic. There's going to be a glut of shortstops out there though this offseason. Trevor Story, one of them. Corey Seager, another one, and others. Francisco Lindor is talking about doing a deal with the Mets and staying there, doing a long-term deal with the Mets, but we shall see. But there's a lot of good shortstops out there now. And here's another thing, is if he should leave, Bregman can move over to short, and you can pick up a free agent third baseman, or you can move Yuli to third for a year, and, you know, maybe someday Yordan can play first. Maybe someday. But there's still a lot of options. I do think, though, that Carlos Correa, I do believe Carlos Correa will be an Astro long term.
You believe it gets done before the season starts, or is this something that goes into the next offseason?
Well, here's the thing: is last spring they told George Springer that. Well, last winter they told George Springer they were going to do a deal with him. They didn't do it. I think pandemic was a big problem. Was a big part of it. No revenues coming in. Baseball doesn't have the same. Same TV deal that basketball and football have. Baseball is not anywhere. They are so dependent on attendance and local revenues, advertisers and whatnot. And they're super dependent on, and they had none of that last year. So that was a big problem. And I think that's the reason that George isn't here. I truly believe George Springer would be here if it wasn't for the pandemic. Now, you know, Carlos's deal isn't going to start until after Verlander and Greinke are gone. So you've got free money there. You've got money that's freed up. Whether or not you think you've got to spend it on more pitching, I don't know. But they've done a hell of a job. You got to give Luno credit, man. Luno knew what the hell he was doing. Getting Gerrit Cole being able to get the Verlander deal done, picking up these guys that he's picked up, doing the Yordan trade. I mean, these young pitchers, this whole staff, practically this whole staff, the Clicks put some stuff together, but this is mostly all Luno's work. I mean, you got to give Luno credit. Hopefully, Click has got this kind of talent, to see talent. But we'll see. 713-780-3776. Yeah, Miles Straw might be the – I know a lot of people are bummed if Miles Straw is a – listen, you're not going to have an all-star.
It's a step down from what they've seen. But
are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, if they're not in any rush or have any interest to add an everyday center fielder, yeah, Miles Straw will be the next in line. It's going to be a step down. You're not going to have George Springer.
I don't believe Jackie Bradley was the answer anyway. I just don't. I mean, he's okay. He's good. Jackie Bradley wasn't the answer here. I mean, I don't know that Miles Straw is going to be all that much worse. We'll see. If you haven't seen, Kyle Tucker is bigger, stronger. He has put on, I mean, he's been working the guns now. He looks like he's a different body type. He was a skinny kid. He looks bigger now. Bregman's bigger. We'll see and the only thing you worry about is their bat speed. Whether or not it affects their bat speed. That's what you got to worry about. And hopefully, it won't. And now if he adds more power, I mean, a lot of guys bulked up, didn't they?
I'm just going to need him to put on batting gloves.
Why are you gonna?
I don't like the look.
Why worry about his hands?
I don't like the look.
I like it because he picks up the dirt and he
I understand
every single pitch.
He picks up the dirt. Yeah, I know. Stay in the box and put on some batting gloves.
No, he's got to pick up some dirt.
Check your privilege, Kyle Tucker.
No, privilege is I need my batting gloves. I can't hit without my. No, you know what Kyle Tucker is? Old school. I'm going without batting gloves.
He's trying to stand out. I know. I see him working. He's trying to differentiate. Put on some batting gloves. He ain't special.
No. Matt, like three fingers brown? He never wore batting gloves.
Did batting gloves exist for three fingers brown? Maybe if he wore batting gloves, he'd have more than three fingers.
Well, we don't know. We don't know if he was playing fireworks.
I don't even know. Who was three fingers brown?
He was a pitcher back in the day.
He didn't need batting gloves.
See? Well, he hit too. Pitchers hit back in the day. I don't know.
And when did back in the day occur?
There was no DH back
in the day. Pitchers hit today and they still wearing batting gloves.
They didn't then.
He's
old school.
When did three fingers brown play?
Back in the 20s?
Batting gloves didn't exist.
That's what I'm saying.
He would have worn them, though.
Old school.
He would have worn them.
Tucker is a throwback. Okay? See when three fingers played. Maybe back in the turn of the century.
Well, so before integration.
Mordecai Three Fingers Brown. He was born in 1876. He died in 1948. Three fingers, baby.
Mordecai.
Ooh, and he could, you know what? He had a nub as his index finger.
I don't know if he can made say that. Ball.
What? He had a nub.
And
that's how he gripped it. And I think he got... Did he have an advantage? Did he have an unfair advantage?
I don't know. Ask anyone. Do you need all your fingers to be a really good pitcher, just a nub
like
help?
He's placing. Do you think he should be able to place the ball on that nub and then spin it? Nobody else can do that.
I don't know. I think it's quite an accomplishment to make the Hall of Fame when you're missing a finger in your pitching hand.
Thank you. Played for the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Reds. Man, he just couldn't stick with anybody. Then he played for the Terriers, the Tip Tops, the
Whalers.
He stuck
with the Cubs for like 9 seasons.
And then the Cubs.
04 to 12. And then this is 1904, by the way, not 2004.
And then the St. Louis Terriers. Who the bleep? The Brooklyn Tip Tops? Hey, see?
Never heard of
him. He's with the Tip Tops now. Mordecai. He's only got three fingers, see?
I mean, it's certainly a bygone era when some dude named Mordecai is destroying the league.
It's a bygone era when the Chicago Whales are playing. There's no Whales in Chicago.
This guy you keep referencing, you've done it multiple times. 206 career ERA, 239 wins, 130 losses. So I'm saying, certainly an accomplishment to be pitching with four fingers and make the Hall of Fame.
That's the kind of player Kyle Tucker
is. No, he is not.
The throwback. No gloves.
Maybe he would stay on the breaking ball.
There were no gloves could fit Mordecai.
You if the gloves fit Pierre Paul, they I don't think it was.
I don't know if
they do now. They found a way. I don't know. Could a glove help or a
lot? You see Kyle McCumber this weekend. He cut his finger, and so he had to cut his glove, and so that he could actually grip the club and have a great and have a great tournament.
Golfers have it really rough.
Riviera. Did you see the end of the tournament?
I can say the answer is no to any of these questions. No, you I didn't see any
Max
of it.
Max Homa missed like a 2-footer on 18 to win the tournament, but then won it in extra holes against.
We've had this. We've talked about this. I have ended paying for cable because football season's over. If I'm going to find a way to watch a sporting event in a less than legal manner, it ain't going to be golf.
CBS Sports.
I don't have cable. I just told you. I'm not paying for it.
Well, how do you watch any CBS sports event?
There are ways.
Okay, well, you could have found a way there.
I just told you, if I'm going to find a way to watch something in a less than legal manner, it won't be golf.
Oh, that's terrible. You don't want to take a nap?
I found a way. I just have a big lunch. You know, do you think if Kyle Tucker lost a finger, he'd stay on a breaking ball?
Yes.
Well, okay. Lose a finger. Be a Hall of Famer. As long as you can stay on a breaking ball.
That's terrible. You want Kyle Tucker to lose
a finger. I don't want him to lose a finger, but if it guaranteed he would stop pulling off breaking balls, sure.
713-780-3776. Just one segment left before News of the Weird at 45, so come on in.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. The number to hang out with us. MLB, what is this? MLBTradeRumors.com put out the highest contracts by annual value in Major League history. Major League Baseball, Mike Trout is the biggest at $36 million. Garrett Cole, $36 million. Those two tied for first. Strasburg, Anthony Rendon. Look at this. It's all now. You don't. Clayton Kershaw's extension that he signed in 2014 comes in 12th. But he's still pitching. The first one on the list that is no longer pitching or that's no longer playing, Dell, Roger Clemens, 19th at $28 million a year.
And how many years of that stretch? Do they tell you the length of that $28 million?
No, it's just per year, the average per year. Well, he signed it in 2007. I don't know how long that deal was. But
feels like when he
every
was...
other guy is playing right now and got these contracts, 19, 18, 20, 18, 15, 14, 19, 21.
Yeah, Rogers' deal was the one-year deal with the Yankees to end his career. These other guys are signing these long-term deals that have them in that pay grade. We had this debate last week, and it was more about Tatis, but... Other than him, and because of his age and his realized potential, what he can be, I don't really understand teams tying themselves to 28, 30-year-olds from a decade.
No,
and paying the annual salary that they're paying.
Speaking of which, Albert Pujols' wife tweeted out, "This is the last time that he'll be having the first day of spring training, or something like that, something to that effect." Which intimates that this is it for Albert Pujols. I don't know if he wanted his wife to put that out there what.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was looking to have her make that announcement.
No, or maybe he said, you go do it. Whatever. Yeah. We don't know. Whatever the case may be, that's one of the worst contracts ever. I mean, but who didn't know that at 32 years
we
old?
We all knew.
That you're going to give that dude that deal.
And that was back when Art Moreno was... trying to make a splash. I think the Angels had been struggling at the time, so he decided, hey, let's give Albert Pujols, one of the biggest stars in the game, a whole lot of money.
You know how you make a big splash?
By winning?
Winning. Get good players that win baseball games. Not by overpaying guys who are 32 years old on 10-year deals.
Yeah, and the money got worse as he got older.
I mean, that's just dumb.
Like the first year, he was making like 12.
That's the exact opposite of the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
When he's most productive, give him that money.
The age of 32, he made 12, 33, 16, and then it jumped to 23 at 34 and just kept going up by $1 million a year. Seems that's a poor decision.
Yes, it seems like a very poor decision. So, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. Other news here. It looks like I don't know if I believe it that the Seahawks are offering three first rounders for Russell Wilson. I just don't know that I believe that.
That they would take it? That they actually make the deal?
That they're actually out there shopping him. Would you right now take three first rounders for Russell Wilson?
As the Seahawks? Ooh. I don't think so. Because unless you're getting them in the same draft class, you're saying that the first round pick, now I know you got to pay Russell and you take him off your cap so you can strengthen your team other ways, not only with the three first rounders, but with free agency. But you're telling me the three free first rounders and the added cap space is more valuable than Russell Wilson over the next 3 years?
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got to find that. Well, what did you think? I mean, Russell Wilson certainly fell off in the second half of last season.
True, but he's an established superstar. Am I going to use the back half of last season to say he's done? No. Sure, he struggled. Fine. Okay. You tell me that he struggled. And we could talk about people thought Tom Brady was done too, and then he got weapons and he was just fine again. I'm not going to use the last six games to say Russell Wilson, I can just easily discard him. Now, if there's some internal strife and they feel like, look, we built this team when he wasn't getting paid anything, and we built it on the back of a defense, and then when he became the player he became, all of a sudden our results got worse and worse because we couldn't put players around him. I get some of that line of thinking. But are you really dropping a franchise quarterback at 32 years old?
To me, Russell Wilson's the only reason that you're relevant still.
Yeah.
The only reason that you are actually have a chance, that you actually still make the playoffs, that you actually still win football games. Now, it was a little, he did not play well in the second half.
No, he didn't. And that's something you acknowledge. But unless there's some injury they're hiding from all of us, like some deteriorating shoulder we don't know about, are you going to use the last five, six games of the season to tell us that you're going to go on another search for a franchise quarterback for a guy who probably has 5 to 6 years left of being really good? Is that what you're going to do? Like I said, unless there's something we don't know about internally, I don't get it. Or maybe they just say, hey, we built it one way and that worked and we'll do it again.
I don't know. You get the franchise guy. That's why I'm all about what the Texans are doing with Deshaun. We got our franchise guy. We're paying our franchise guy. We're going to keep our franchise guy. That's our guy. That's the guy that we, first of all, gave up two picks for. Secondly, that's the guy that we gave $156 million to. We're, you know what? Yeah, you can, Deshaun, you can bitch and moan. You can sit. You can, I'm not going to do. That's all I'm doing. I'm not coming back. No, you can do all that crap all you want, but guess what? We ain't getting rid of Deshaun Watson. That's all there is to it. Deshaun's our guy. Once you find that franchise quarterback, that's it. It's over. That's game, set, match. That's my guy.
The under the assumption that he plays for the Texans next year, it'll be an interesting season as far as questions that he will and won't answer. Because unless they go on some run to start the year where it's all about football, if they're continuing to lose games and we expect the roster to be, if not worse, just as bad as it was this year, how he's gonna handle press conferences? Because the roster is not gonna get better if he's still around, and so we expect them to be bad.
He's been a good soldier so far.
Well, okay.
I would think that Cal, I mean, I just can't stress enough how I guess if I was working for, and I see all the other owners and I see the way the teams go about it and I see everything else going and I talk to other players in the league and about how it is, and I had to go through the experience of Bill O'Brien for all these years that I've been in the NFL, and now I've got Cal as my, and I mean, Cal is the owner, and I see how inept he is. I mean, I guess I would be like, yeah, I know I signed that deal. I'll tell you what, I'll give up my deal. Tear it up. Just get me out of here and I'll go somewhere else. And I'll work out my deal somewhere else. And get everything you can for me, but just let me out.
Like, I'll give you back everything.
Everything.
The signing bonus, take it.
Yep.
You don't have any, I don't even know if the NFLPA, all that stuff will work. But hey, what I can give back, I'll give back. Just get me out of here.
Just get me out of here.
Yeah.
That's how bad.
I expect a lot of Bradley Beal face from Deshaun next year. Now, the Wizards are on a 5-game winning streak, but the Bradley Beal face we've seen throughout the year, like on the sidelines when that helmet comes off, I expect a lot of that if he's still in the roster.
That's the only reason I don't know that it works, the Texans strategy, is because Deshaun's attitude is the thing that can change everything. He has been, there's no indication that Deshaun will jake it. There's no he'll
it's very
fake
hard
an injury
to do that. Fake an injury, okay.
Yeah, that he'll get fat. There's no indication whatsoever that Deshaun is going to, in any way, shape, or form, sabotage the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But it is out there.
Because of the contract, I don't foresee any way he gets out of it unless he does pull some underhanded stuff.
Right.
Like he comes in and goes, I hurt my back in training.
Right.
And how are you going to tell me my back doesn't hurt? Sorry, can't play. I don't see any other way. If he's not willing to be the bad person, how does he get out? The Texans are steadfast. That could change, but if they are to be believed, now the Rockets told us how uncomfortable they were willing to get, and they got to a point where they couldn't get uncomfortable anymore. If the Texans are more steadfast in that approach and they have more time to deal with it because the season isn't fast approaching, he has to become a fake malcontent.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no... That's the way to do it. That's the only way he's going to get out of here.
He's got to,
or like I said before, just start insulting Cal.
He's got to be Anthony Davis.
Yep.
The Pelicans weren't looking to get rid of him until
That'd be a shame. That'd be a shame.
And that's something he doesn't want to do right now.
10:43, ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Okay. You find stories here? Here's a story, Del. You know, did I seem perkier to you in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, you doing drugs?
No, I'm not drinking beer. No, no alcohol.
So you?
It's Lent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't notice the difference between you because I choose not to pay attention. But our former co-host, R.I.P. Raheel, used to talk about all the time. He preferred you during Lent because you weren't the other guy,
the one that was hungover.
Yeah, that guy.
Huh. Well, how about this guy? So I give up alcohol for Lent. This guy gives up food and only drinks beer.
And is that a healthy approach?
Well, an Ohio man is marking the Christian tradition of Lent by giving up solid foods for 46 days, getting the majority of his substance from beer. I think he's done this before. Day three of his diet, he's down 5.8 pounds.
I bet.
Maybe I'm going about this the wrong way. Maybe I should just drink beer.
Are you looking to lose weight?
Well, I actually do lose. I lose about 10 to 12 pounds every year. But this guy's lost 5.8 in 3 days.
A liquid diet, I guess. And how much beer is he drinking per day?
He says, I only have 3 to 5 beers a day.
Okay,
it's not like I'm drinking constantly. If you eat your standard diet, it gets boring. You don't eat the same thing every day. So I'm definitely not going to drink the same thing every day. He said he successfully completed Lent beer diets in the last 2 years, each time noticing health benefits of the experience. He said he lost 40 to 50 pounds both years.
How big is this dude?
Do you need to lose 40 to 50 pounds, Del?
No. He loses about 90 to 100 pounds each year. How much weight is he putting on? That's a lot of weight to lose. Yeah, that's a lot of weight to lose over 46 days.
Dude, if I lost 40 to 50...
Over 46 days?
I looked like Kyle Tucker last year.
See, there's a story behind the story. We got to find out what this dude looks like when he's not going through Lent. Because if he can stand and lose that much weight, hey, maybe there's a bigger problem.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, there's a bigger problem anyway, though. It seems like there's a bigger problem. How about an Oregon man? This is a problem. He registered a blood alcohol level, Dell. He was charged with DUI. Pulled over, charged with DUI. Took the test. What do you think he registered?
Was it 0.4 something?
Higher.
Oof. Because Johnny Damon only blew a 0.3.
So what is it?
0.08 is the legal limit. 0.08
is a DUI.
Yeah, if you blow that or above.
0.08
is the legal limit, yes.
So, and Johnny blew a 0.3.
Johnny Damon blew a
0.4 was high.
Yes.
0.778.
How much do you have to be drinking in that amount of time to get there?
A record. We got to give this guy some credit.
Is that a record?
It's a record. Yep. The record highest BAC recorded was 0.72, an Oregon woman in 2007. Boy, she must have been fun. And 0.708 recorded by a South Dakota woman in 2009. Boy, you don't want to party with these two.
Do you think anything they said...
Do you think they would have remembered anything they did?
No. The fact that... I don't know how far they got in their car, but at 0.7, it is a feat that you could actually operate a vehicle for any amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not crediting them for it, but it is impressive that you could actually turn on the car and drive it anywhere. But please, don't drink and drive. Do you think they sounded like Sark? Or are they worse?
That was worse. You can't even see. You can't see at 0.77.
Yes, Sark could actually walk up to the mic.
I don't know what he blew that day. There's a motorist. He's blaming a rap song for his speeding ticket. Apparently, he was listening to a song named Ciento Veinte.
What's that mean?
120.
Well, they're telling him to go a certain speed.
So it means 120. So I was driving 120.
That's the excuse you use when you're explaining it?
That's what he told the cops.
Look, you're better off telling him you had to go poo. And that's why I was driving so fast. Not that you're listening to a song. That's a terrible excuse.
This is an interesting question, Del. Here's an interesting question. What age, if you could freeze time, what age would you want to be for time?
So not go back in time and start.
No.
But this is your age.
What age do you want to be?
I think I would go back to 23.
23?
I'm out of college. Also, I was probably one of the times I was at my lightest as an adult. I think 23.
I agree with this one. 4 in 10 Americans said 36.
Well, why 36?
Well, because you're still young.
Okay.
But you have some money in your pocket.
That's true.
All right. You're still virile. You're still able, and you're not. You're 23, adults won't listen to you.
That's true.
36 is you got some credibility.
But you got to think, I'm in my 30s, so there's a little difference. 36 isn't that appealing when you're in your 30s, but when you're older, it is probably very much appealing. Yeah. 23, less responsibilities.
Well, right, but no money.
True, but at the time, you don't know any better. You're like, I don't have, look, all my responsibilities are trying to find girls and the part-time job I was suffering through. It was less stressful, I would say. But I get 36 if you're older. It makes sense.
Yeah. 36 is, I think that's a good age. You've got some credibility with older people. You're still young enough to date younger people.
True.
You got some money in your pocket. You got some experience behind you. You're not young and dumb.
Yeah.
I like 36. I had the best time.
Well, in your 30s? Well, you're having a good time now, let's be clear.
Well, but 36 was...
It makes some sense. I get it. It just depends on who you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in your 30s, you feel like, oh, man, this is over for me. What happened? Like, and then you get to a point when you're older, I assume, where you're like, hey, 30s weren't so bad. So I'm in the middle of that. But, yeah, I get it. 36 is not a bad age. Depending on how you've taken care of yourself, you can probably pass for late 20s too. So yeah, it's not a bad start.
No, at 30, 35, 36, you still look like you could. Yeah. Late 20s or early 30s. Absolutely. Yeah. An ex-cop and two others sentenced to 16 years in prison. Apparently they kidnapped a chemistry student and forced him to make drugs for them. So apparently, this sounds like a movie to me.
Yeah, it sounds like an episode of Breaking Bad.
It sounds like, he was a chemistry student at the University of Free State, later reported the matter to the police after he escaped from the house where he had been kept against his will and forced to make drugs.
So the police couldn't, they're police officers, correct? That's what you said?
Well, one of them was a police officer.
So they couldn't find someone in the business that would do it voluntarily? You had to kidnap a college student to do it?
I mean, you don't have any friends?
You don't have any connects as a police officer to find a guy who would make it?
What about just go to the prison, go to the jail?
Forget about friends.
Hey, you know how to make some meth?
You're in the business of meeting people who do stuff like this.
That's your business.
Yeah, to know people, not kidnapping a kid off the street.
It sounds like a bad episode of Breaking Bad.
It's a poor choice. Walter White never would have done that.
No. He didn't chain Jesse to the stove.
Yeah, Jesse found a guy who liked doing stuff like this. He had a guy. You're police. You have a guy. You know a person.
Well, and how did he found him? Walter White found him because he was on a police search.
See?
He found Jesse climbing out the window.
So it's more reason why the police officers made a bad choice. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Poor. You're not very good at your job if you can't find a drug addict as a cop.
No, that's why you got caught.
We're done. The press box is next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.